into Survivor Series to rip your arm off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Tuckamania.
It's Rusev Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic adventure. It's Tuckamania. What's up, brothers? I'm your host, Desmino, here with my Survivor Series partner, the only partner I need, J-Bomb. Say hello, J-Bomb. Tag in.
Hey, man. What's up? I'm the hot tag tonight.
How's it going, my buddy?
Not too bad, man. Speaking of Survivor Series, if we were to participate in a Survivor Series match, I do think that I would be the sole survivor between the two of us.
Come on, man. You know I give my heart and my soul to this team.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I'd let you give your heart and your soul in the ring, take the pin, I come in, easy win, and end it off with a sweet-ass sharpshooter.
The sharpshooter.
Well, the Texas Club, I believe.
Of execution. Oh, wait, Texas Cloverleaf?
Yeah, one of the
You picked that over the sharpshooter.
I don't know, but it's fun to clinch that in, man. There's two things that are fun to clinch in. The million-dollar dream, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the sleeper and the Texas Cloverleaf. And it's almost the same move, just once to their head and once to their feet or legs.
So do you like the actual action of sitting on their back and cranking it, or like the whole like folding of the legs?
I like
picking, and how you kind of you hook that in snugly, you know. You kind of
hook it in
to
snug,
flip them over too.
And then I like to pick them straight up and then walk over like the old school lion tamer.
Oh, old school! Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that was dirt. I love that. And yeah, I remember when we were young, we used to do a little bit of wrestling. I think I even have some of our old matches on home video too, folks. That's pretty.
We have to put that on the YouTubes on the YouTube.
Maybe we'll get there. If we get the 10,000 followers, maybe we'll do that. Maybe that could be an initiative.
Or one last match.
Ooh, maybe.
Motherfucker. Maybe. So what's up, man?
Well,
what's up?
Well, this is our Survivor Series show. We're going to be talking about the Survivor Series. But before we get into it, we want to tell you, make sure to follow us on Twitter at _Tuckamania. Listen to our podcast. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. Tell your friends. Also, you can check out our merch, prowrestlingtees.com/Tuckamania. Got some cool stuff. I'm wearing the white one right now. It's pretty comfortable. So check it out. And we're also actively playing the video games because that's what we do. So we're now making a presence on Twitch. Tuckamaniacs, follow us on the channel Tuckamaniacs. It's for you guys to check us out and be part of us in terms of the interaction, what we're doing. We want you to be watching us play and playing games too. Friday the 13th. I know a few of you guys like that game. Let's start some shit. Let's hook it up. Let's have some fun. So we're going to be more prominent on Twitch. Make sure to check us out.
Yeah. Speaking of vids, man, where you at in Red Dead Redemption? I'm like still stuck on chapter 3 because I'd never have time to play because I got kids.
I got kids. I got a cat and I got no time to play because I don't have time to play because of my work. So I've been busy a lot. I haven't been playing too much. I've been a little bit active on Twitch. I actually posted a video of me catching, I think it was Killing the Beaver.
Killing the Beaver. Fuck yeah. So,
I killed the beaver. I shot him with my bow and I went to go pick him up out of the water. And I was carrying him on my shoulder. And because the water went so deep, he slipped off my shoulder and drowned and I lost his pelts.
That can happen?
What the? Well, I'm telling you now. I'm warning you, folks. So yeah, it drowns basically, and then eventually it shows up at your trapper, or like at least you get the kill, I guess, but you don't get to sell the actual pelt itself. So I was kind of a bit pissed about that, but
you know what
it is?
My favorite thing to do in Red Dead Redemption is to hogtie somebody and then bring them to the creek and make them lay down in the water, and they have to like keep their head up to survive, and you hear them like gasping for air, and then I just could sit there for like 5 minutes while they slowly, slowly drown.
Well done. Do they actually like pull their head up and
they're like,
motion?
And then they just kind of give up. And then I shotgun all their limbs off. And then I put their body.
I'm definitely glad you would be on my Survivor Series team then.
And then I put their body on the horse and carry it around for a bit. I guess it's pretty fucked up.
And then you put them in a clover leaf.
That's right. The fucking Texas clover leaf.
You cinch it in.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. So I'm under the impression that you told me off air that your girlfriend is leaving for Japan for 2 weeks.
Yes, my woman is leaving the country. She's been deported. And, you know, there's little I can do about it.
So 2 weeks without the wife, huh?
Yep, she's going back home to visit her fam. Her sister's getting married. They're having a traditional Japanese wedding. I was invited to go, but I mean, got some big expenses coming up. And at the same time,
that's why you're not going.
I don't speak the Japanese. So, but it's pretty cool. I went down there last time and spent time with her family, and I didn't speak Japanese. And it was fine. I mean, we made the efforts to talk to each other. We learned some words here or there, and it wasn't so much that, but it's more the fact that they're going to have a wedding, right? So it's going to be centered around the family, having that wedding, not so much, you know, seeing the country. And I don't mind spending time with the family, but it's kind of their thing. So I'm letting them do it. She's going to wear a rockin' kimono. I'm looking forward to her kimono photos. She's going to look beautiful. And got 2.5 weeks of being a bachelor.
Man. Think of the jerk-off opportunities.
I'm still thinking. Hold on.
You could jerk off on your couch, in the main room, with whatever content you want, baby. Hell yeah. That's a dream, man.
I somehow see, like, she's like, bye, Jay. I'll be, your voice like, bye, Jay. I'll be back later. You wait for that click, and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I wait till I see the car leave the driveway. I've learnt the lesson.
Because sometimes she comes back and forgets things.
Yes. And then she's like, what are you? Ah, that's huge. And I'm all like,
fuck the revival.
So, yeah. All right, we got to talk wrestling, man. We're like, let's get into this. Oh, wait. You got some big news to share.
Well, not only me, you too. Because ladies and gentlemen, Takamania
is going to WrestleMania.
Holy shit.
That's right, folks. Takamania picked up their tickets today. So we're going to be there. We're going to be there for NXT TakeOver, for WrestleMania, for Monday Night Raw. We're going to be around. We're going to be posting lots of stuff when we're out there. We hope you can come out and grab a drink with us. We're going to be hooking up with a lot of other podcasts as well, too, our podcast familia. So it's going to be exciting, guys. WrestleMania, Takamania.
Section 134, share your tickets with us on our social media. Let us know where you're going to be at. And if you come up to us and say, I'm a Takamaniac, we're going to have free t-shirts for you. Different sizes, different colors, boys, girls, nothing for the kids because we hate kids. We're leaving our kids at home. Hell yeah!
Pretty exciting. We're going to beat WrestleMania, bro.
I know. It's crazy. It's like I feel like Shawn Michaels, the boyhood dream. And it's going to be realized. So I'm excited.
I can't. And I'm really, you're Shawn Michaels, really?
I feel like, whatever. Let's get into the wrestling, bro.
It is technically our WrestleMania moment. So
it is our WrestleMania moment. I didn't even think of that.
It's pretty cool. We came all this way, too, because when we started up, like, what, a year and a half ago, we were like, you know what? If we hit 1,000 followers, we're going to go to WrestleMania. And here we are, over 6,000 now.
Yeah, just cracked 6 and G's.
Again, love all you guys. Love all the support. Love you guys tuning in every week. You drive us, and you're a Takamaniac, man. So,
yeah,
thank you.
All right. Let's talk Raw. Let's talk SmackDown. Let's talk, unfortunately, about Survivor Series. But go-home shows.
Is that what this week was?
It was kind of like, just fucking go. I mean, Survivor Series is like a fraction of what it was going to be, and it wasn't going to be much. You know, with Becky Lynch being out now, and then with AJ Styles, with that swap with Daniel Bryan, I mean, it's kind of leaving that plate pretty empty.
Right. Well, I mean, let's just jump right into it. I think the hot topic that's going to be on every podcast, I guess, that there is that has to do with wrestling this week is going to be about Becky Lynch. Yep. And you know what? We're going to be no different here, folks. It's an interesting topic to talk about. Lots of things going on. So we saw this week, Becky Lynch, she led a revolution or I guess a revolt or whatever you want to call it, a mob invading Monday Night Raw. She took out Ronda Rousey backstage, came out to the ring, basically ordered Well, she had the rest of her team come out and just storm the ring. And when she came out and she basically attacked Nia Jax, Nia laid a solid potato right in her face and broke her nose and gave her a concussion. So now she is out for Survivor Series, which is basically the big match everybody was looking forward to.
Yeah, there
was
exactly.
So much buildup, so much hype for this match. And I think this match meant a lot for Becky as well, too. So it's a little sad to see it be changed so dramatically. But here we are. So, I mean, what do you think, J-Bomb? Do you think inserting Charlotte Flair was the right answer? You think how they handle this in general? Let me know what you think, boy, and let's talk some shit.
All right, SmackDown was a huge disappointment. I mean, I understand that they're kind of like, you know, they're kind of, their back's against the wall, and I see it. I get that Becky can't be part of it. I get that with Twitter today, everybody knows the injury was sustained. They can't, you know, spin around and say that Ronda can't participate. There's no way they're keeping Ronda off the card if she's healthy. So I get that they had to drop Becky and make the storyline about her not being able to participate. But the way that she selected Charlotte with the hug, it was just kind of this like, I don't know, man. I feel like it took away from what Becky's built the last, you know, month or so. And the fact that they showed it on SmackDown, that it was a punch that took her out, like, wrestling punches are like the B button on your controller. It's like the like single little move that you throw in between all the big moves, and you're telling me that you're going to work that into a storyline that she got punched and she's out? It was just weak, man. And I know that the fans, you can't insult the fans because they know the truth, but they insult us all the fucking time with storylines elsewhere, so why not just do it now? Rant over.
Very good point, and very, very good analysis, man. You had me listening with wide open ears. I mean, we knew it was going to be Charlotte. It was reported the day before, so it's a matter of how are they going to deliver this news. So I agree with you. I think the way it was done was really silly. You obviously saw the crowd wanted Asuka to be the one. I'm not just being biased here. We heard the crowd speak, folks. But, you know, maybe that match will happen later down the line. But we knew it was going to be Charlotte. So I think maybe, and I saw you had mentioned this as well, too, in your notes. I thought it was interesting because I knew it was going to be Charlotte. And I was like, well, you know, what option did Becky really have? First off, I thought, it must be pretty sour for her to often be pushed to the side because of Charlotte. And I'm sure she has respect and love for her friend in real life.
Yeah.
But it must generally be frustrating that Charlotte kind of comes in and kind of always gets, she's been like, well, they call her the most decorated woman in WWE history. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true already. It definitely will be. It will be. I think eventually at one point she will be the most decorated of all
forcefully,
time.
Forcefully. Forcefully.
I will make a major bet on that one. Well, yeah. I mean, because of the Flair name to some extent, I'm not going to sit here and knock Charlotte. She works hard, but yeah, she definitely gets more opportunities than Becky. And we saw that at SummerSlam too, where they were building up, you know, Carmella versus Becky. And then all of a sudden, you know, Charlotte comes off of her breast surgery and she's good to go and gets inserted in that match, wins it. And it's almost like, you know, bittersweet because it's a storyline, but I bet Becky's kind of just like, I bet you she kind of, maybe a little bit of realness in that punch from behind.
I'm sure there was a bit of it.
You know?
Yeah.
So to have her have to come in again and get her main event at Survivor Series, I'm sure ultimately she's not mad, but it's just funny. I just find that it's kind of always comes back to this. And for her to give her that hug, you know, a part of me is like, it's two steps back because, yeah, you know, she's kind of a badass. She didn't like Charlotte, but I guess the match they had together, maybe she got some of that, you know, heel respect for her. Or I guess she's not a heel, but that respect for each other. And, you know, I don't know. Giving her a hug, was the right thing? Is she already going to go soft a little bit?
No.
You know, she could have given her a look. Could have given her a handshake.
No, even a handshake, you know, would have been bad. What it should have been?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, at the very least. But it looks like there were some emotions there. She looked like she was generally upset. So I don't know if that hug was scripted. Probably was to some degree. But who knows? I don't think it was the best thing to do. But I think they can recover from it. But I do think, and getting back to what I read on your notes that was so interesting, was that you suggested that Paige makes the change herself,
yeah,
says it's going to be Charlotte, and then Becky gets angry or she holds more hostility towards Charlotte because of it.
A million times over, man. Like, that could have been played so many different ways. I think that had Becky come out and been like, yo, I'm not out of this match. Are you crazy? I'm not out of this match. And then Paige forcefully take her out and then name Charlotte as a replacement. Charlotte could have came out and could have kind of, you know, stuck her, stuck her tongue out to Becky in the sense like, haha, I'm still the fucking golden child. And then once Becky's back, that bitch could attack Charlotte again. And
dude, that would have been fantastic. That would have been ideal booking.
But that's not even like that's not even really creative. That's like a no fucking brainer for me. That's a no brainer, man. I'm sure a lot of people would agree that that is not anything special. But God, man, I feel like they really took a step back on her, and I think it's not gonna hurt her in the long term. Like you said, it's gonna be recoverable, but that's what we're gonna remember from Becky until she's back. And I think that's kind of shitty.
So here's one thing to look at, though. So we're having Becky miss out on this really big hyped match between Ronda Rousey. We've seen them be going back and forth, trading jabs on social media. It's gotten pretty heated. Obviously, I'm pretty sure it's all scripted. But at the same time, you know, it seems like there's no limit on where either one of them can go, which is great. It's fun. It's entertaining. But now, with Roman being injured, or not being injured, being out for who knows how long because of his treatments, and I hope he's doing well, we also have Becky having an injury. And I think with these two factors, and with Daniel Bryan winning the WWE title, which we will get to eventually once we get through all of this, they have started to rewrite the road to WrestleMania.
Not to put a damper on the hype that is us going to WrestleMania, but I feel like it's going to be patched together. And this week was a huge indication of all these storylines kind of getting all mumbled and jumbled. And WWE seemed to not really know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, I do agree to a certain extent because right now they are in panic mode. I think they do have a lot of time. And I feel when it comes to WrestleMania, they'll do a good job of putting a good card together. There's going to be lots of things popping up that we can't think of yet. Maybe The Rock will be involved. Maybe Michaels will wrestle another match. Maybe there'll be some other surprises. You'll get your Undertaker entrance that you want to see.
But that's
live
all filler
so
bullshit.
Nearly,
you know what I mean?
Even though the match itself will be horrible. The match itself will probably be pretty sad. But you wanted to see the entrance. You're like, I'm looking forward to seeing an Undertaker entrance. I never have.
I am less now after Super Showdown and that other crappy one there, Crown Royal.
Well, we were excited because we were potentially going to see Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania. But here's the thing. Everyone's really sour and salty about Becky being injured. And I agree. I think it's awful, terrible timing. Yeah. I was looking forward to this match. I was so excited. But there is a good chance now with Charlotte wrestling Ronda at Survivor Series that Becky, because of this, may very well main event WrestleMania. Against Ronda Rousey.
I don't know about main event. I don't think the women are ever going to main event WrestleMania until Vince McMahon is dead. And I'll credit Justin Roberts with that one.
So asterisk on the main event. Yeah. Like it's going to be in the last like two matches. It's going to be the women's main event. It's going to be, it'll be considered a main event match. I usually consider like the last like two matches are usually main events, even though the last one is officially that.
There is some pros to this. I didn't, when the match was originally booked, I was kind of like, what? Because I know WWE is going to put Ronda over Becky. And I think that at this point, it was too soon for Becky to eat a loss, even if it's not for her title, and especially to Ronda Rousey. So, like, she would not be number one. She couldn't call herself the man if she lost to Ronda. So I guess, in a sense, there's a bit of relief there, but I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, man, things happen for a reason, and as shitty as this is, I think you nailed the perfectly good point that she was going to lose, or she was going to disqualify herself or something like that. And I think this way she stays a bit protected. She has time off, which is going to leave the fans wanting her to come back, and when she does come back, they're going to pop hard. It's going to be fantastic for her. The hug, I hope they forgot about that by then. In the end, if she trades the Survivor Series in for WrestleMania, I would take it.
Yeah, I would take that too. Now, what happens to Nia Jax going forward?
Well, I mean, we could talk about Nia Jax. I think it's a good thing to talk about too. Social media is very opinionated, I guess, on her. So my opinion, straight up, is that it was definitely reckless. I tried to watch it over quite a few times. It looks like Becky was very kind of aggressive when she came in. She was really into the moment, and I think she kind of, I guess, laid into Nia Jax, but not too much harder than anybody normally would. But she came in hard, and I think Nia kind of was just like, you know, maybe that first punch, look, it hit Nia a little too hard, and Nia kind of came back, kind of giving her a receipt. But it was definitely reckless, really hard. And then you have Nia, you know, she took a lot of abuse on social media. She goes today and she says, oh, well, you know, no one's asking me how my hand is. And like, everybody just wants to bitch at me and tear me down. And it's like, dude, showing a picture of your hand doesn't do any favors because, you know, if it's cut open, if it's broken, well, that means you punched her in the face too hard. Like, and you punched her in the face. So it's like, what does that do? It just makes it worse. So yeah. my opinion in the final say is that it was reckless. I think she has a history of injuring people. I went back and watched a few videos. Her throwing Zelina Vega out of the ring. She hit her head on the outside. It was kind of partially because Tamina didn't catch her.
Yeah, I was
going to say. Charlotte dropped her on her head. You know, she's done quite a few things. She's, I think, stunned Asuka, Bliss a few times. So she definitely needs to be a bit more careful. But, you know, that's it. I'm getting over it now. And let's not sit here and chastise her forever. You know, there are some good things about Nia Jax. She does work hard. But, yeah, definitely needs to be more careful. And shit happens. So, you know, it is what it is. People are going to get over this in the next week or two. And we'll move forward. But, yeah. You know.
That's how I look at it.
Like, I don't know. I just really hope.
They don't need to hang her for it. You know? Like, get over it. Accidents happen. Let's move on.
It's like, it's kind of like, dude, you're an idiot. What were you thinking? Jeez, like, slap, you know? Like, yeah. And then, like, let's move on, you know? Yeah, like, I'm sure Nia Jax is remorseful. I'm sure she feels bad, you know? She understands. I'm sure she's like, okay, well, next time I shouldn't. I mean, whatever, man. You know, like, shit happens in this industry. And,
yep.
You know, I don't know. I'd be pissed if I was Becky at Nia, but what you gonna do, you know?
Yeah. Shit happens. Shit happens. Speaking of shit. Dude, man, what the fuck? Daniel Bryan is a WWE champion? Like, has there been a more underwhelming title change? This is, honestly, it's worse than the Jinder Mahal victory.
Oh, I was going to say, that could be a contender too. But you know what? I was thinking about this question today. So I agree. I think it was a piss poor decision.
Yeah.
Not making Daniel Bryan a heel. I think there could be fun with it because he hasn't been a very entertaining face. He's kind of always boring and always like, do the right thing, you know? And
yeah.
He kind of gave a few looks where he looks a bit menacing in that match. And you're like, you know what? Cool. Let's see what Daniel Bryan as a heel could do. And apparently he's the one who pitched it himself. He wanted to turn heel. So,
ugh.
Yeah. To the fact of it being the most underwhelming title, change. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I didn't even know it happened.
Was off for what? Three years. He was off for what? 3 years recovering when he came back finally, or he was retired for 3 years. He came back and he was going for the championship. He lost to AJ, and this week he just wins it on SmackDown on a Tuesday night as a heel. Like, this is really the big him come back and win the title that we were all waiting for. Like, it was just really, really at this point in time. So it didn't make sense to me. It was poor timing.
That's how I saw it. I was like, okay, WWE has a great opportunity here. They, you know, I always say that booking shouldn't make or break a character, but putting in with Big Cass was a rough time because Daniel Bryan is an in-ring performer. And Cass sucks. So to have him against Cass, tough, tall order. Then to have him against The Miz, as great as The Miz is, in ring, he sucks. So we haven't really been able to see Daniel Bryan really have a great, great match since coming back. I know he did an okay run with AJ before they went over to Saudi Arabia. And maybe the WWE is like, shit, that was good. Let's keep this program going. And I think that a program between AJ and Daniel would be dope. But why not just make AJ heel or make Daniel Bryan heel, make him attack AJ after a win? But for fuck's sakes, why would you give the title to Daniel Bryan on SmackDown? Like you said, after coming back, they completely ruined any opportunity to build him up to a champion again. He could never chase it again. The story is ruined. And like, I saw pictures of it because I didn't watch SmackDown Live this week. And I thought that he like just maybe picked up AJ's title. Like, I didn't even see it on social media. There was no big like, oh my God, Daniel's a champion. Like, literally, this guy was pretty much like could have been the face of the company, especially with Roman being out. And for them to just throw it this way is just so odd. It's so weird. It was weird.
Yeah. And I noticed, though, too, how quiet the crowd was. You know, I think the crowd loved him so much as GM. He would come out and after his retirement and before his retirement. And then when he finally came back, people were kind of like, oh, well, that's all over now. And now he's just a wrestler again. And I think people still love him. But there's so much other stuff going on that he's not the favorite anymore, or he's just not really on their minds as much. You don't hear the yeses as much. And when he won the title as well, too, like the crowd wasn't really interested.
They didn't even boo. It was just nothing.
Well, they booed a bit, but I think they were confused.
It was
confusing. This is a week, not a week, a few days before Survivor Series. And now, it just you saw how much SmackDown shook things up. All of a sudden, Daniel Bryan has a title match, but he's not on the team anymore. So right there, I knew. I was like, okay, well, this is strange. They're making a title match. And now Daniel Bryan's off the team. So I was like, oh, they're for sure going to... It just had this feel to it, SmackDown, where this is going to be a SmackDown where the title changes hands. And now we get Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, which I'm actually interested to see the combination of the two and see what happens.
He's dead. He's
that guy, he's going to get a concussion again, right? Like, for sure. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I would like to have seen AJ try to take on Brock again. I know you guys are saying it's happened before. You're not looking forward to it. I'm super looking forward to it. But, you know, if they can make me believe that AJ might pull it off, you know, it could be interesting. Daniel Bryan, too. I'm interested to watch it. But now what happens to Daniel Bryan? Is he just not on the card? Sorry, AJ Styles?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the deal?
And I think he has, like, a really good record for, like, consecutive pay-per-view matches. Like, having pay-per-view matches. And now that's it. So it's like he loses the title and he's not in the pay-per-view. Like, put him on the men's match or something. Like, really? Are they going to make this a three-way last minute? Like, I don't know. But,
well, like, let's mark out for a second. What do you think the WWE was trying to accomplish by removing AJ Styles from... It's absolutely the main event at Survivor Series, especially with Becky and Ronda being dead. Were they worried that Brock and AJ couldn't draw? Because to me, Brock versus Daniel is a less I don't want to see that. I would definitely want to see
less appetizing,
AJ.
Less appealing.
Yeah. Less appealing. There you go. It's much less appealing than AJ versus Brock because everybody kind of liked AJ versus Brock.
Yeah, I know, that's it. And I was interested to see it again, too. Maybe AJ's got some nagging injuries. I mean, there's some weeks he's not on SmackDown at all. You know, him going into a match against Brock Lesnar again would be pretty brutal. Did you see what he did to the Singh brothers? I would say at least go back and watch that. He literally... So the Singh brothers have reunited. The one who was injured came back a few weeks ago. But the other one, this week, Brock Lesnar threw on the back of his head like twice. It was so devastating.
Like Randy Orton stuff?
No, it was even more nasty. Oh, it was pretty bad. And so AJ, I'm sure, wasn't looking forward to taking that beating. Maybe he's, you know, kind of wanted a break, a time off. I don't know. I'm not sure. I got lots of question marks, too. I'm just trying to fathom and scratch my head. And maybe the whole Becky thing was so devastating, they wanted to shake it up. They think Daniel Bryan versus Brock would be interesting because it's a new kind of fantasy match. So
is it?
I don't know. I think to some people it would be because Daniel Bryan is their favorite and Brock Lesnar is a beast, a monster. So how could Daniel Bryan fare? And I think Daniel Bryan's going to pull out like these, like Brock's going to run through Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And Daniel Bryan's going to pull out these small streaks of like momentum.
Yeah.
Where he's going to be like, run, attack, kick, slam.
But, like, it's heel versus heel now.
Kick, slam. He's going to get the label lock on. I bet you he's going to get the label lock on, and Brock's going to grab him and pick him up into the F5 position from the label lock, or the yes lock, and put him into the F5.
Probably, but I just don't get, like, the psychology behind it, because AJ would have the crowd cheering him while he was beating up Brock. I guess they're gonna have Daniel Bryan cheering him, but
I know we have a heel versus heel match.
That's so weird.
That's crazy. Anyways. Yeah, I love face versus face matches because they're competitive, and you know it's kind of you know who's gonna win. A heel versus heel, they don't do that often enough, and it's interesting. I guess you're right. Daniel Bryan will go in there more as the heel. It depends how mad the fans are, but. Yeah, very, very weird. And AJ not being on the card at all is just tragic. Why didn't they find a place to put him? So,
anyways, like we said earlier, I mean, Survivor Series, it is what it is. This is the third bad pay-per-view in a row, and I'm going to say it now. It's not going to be a good pay-per-view. I don't
think so either, but, you know, let's go into it hoping for the best.
All right, okay.
But before we finish this topic, we opened up talking about potentially being the worst title, I guess, win or change of all time. I think mine actually could be at WrestleMania 28. And this is when Sheamus fought Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan basically entered the ring. His theme music was playing. He turned around, gave his girlfriend, I think AJ Lee at the time, a kiss. Turned around, got broke kicked and beaten in 18 seconds at WrestleMania.
For the WWE Championship?
For the WWE Championship. 18 seconds at WrestleMania.
Wow. That is pretty rough. That is pretty rough. But I don't, I still think the screw job.
Awesome. I was looking up some of them. I was looking up some of them tonight, too. There's like when Yokozuna beat Bret Hart at WrestleMania, and then all of a sudden Hogan just comes out at the end of WrestleMania and just like, beats Hogan and beats Yokozuna and takes the title. And Brett was all like, yeah, it's great. Because Hogan's like, yeah, at SummerSlam, I'll give you the title back. And like, it never happened. Ugh. Like, totally screwed Brett.
Fuck Hulk
Brett
Hogan.
Screwed Brett. Ah,
fuck Hulk Hogan. All right, let's talk about some shit that we did like. Let me look down the list and see if I can find something right here. Oh, Jeff Hardy and Almas had a good match. And I just think it's because Almas.
You said you didn't watch
shit.
SmackDown.
I said I watched SmackDown. I missed the middle hour of Raw. I watched SmackDown.
You said it earlier. You actually said it on the podcast.
No, I said I watched SmackDown late.
Oh, okay, cool. Maybe I've just been having too many beers.
Yeah, maybe.
You're the designated driver tonight, man.
Yeah, I am. I'm sober. And I feel like I'm lacking something tonight. But yeah, that was an okay match. And that's pretty much the end of me.
Jeff Hardy, Almas. Yeah, it was a good match. I'm just more, you know, I actually am a pretty decent Almas fan. I like him. I think he's good. I'm excited for this guy. I like Zelina Vega, too. I'm glad she's back from her injury or concussion.
Who does?
That Nia Jax gave her. And but I do feel Jeff Hardy needed to win this match more than Almas did. Just because Jeff Hardy is a big game player, big name. And
he won,
been
though.
Losing left. Yeah, he did win.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But he's been losing left and right, so I think he needed to pick up a win, add a little credibility back to him. And Almas, you know, hopefully next week he starts picking up wins again. I'm okay with it this week, but, like, don't put him on a losing streak too long. So, yeah, it was a decent match, I guess, to say the least. But, you know, we're looking at... I look at the tag team picture this week, okay? That was one thing I was looking into this week, because we have the Survivor Series tag match, and we have... and on Raw and both SmackDown sides. And this is newer because there's not very often where we have these massive teams that are tag teams. And I guess once your partner gets eliminated, does the whole team get eliminated? They're not quite clear on that rule, I would think. Otherwise, there'd be a massive amount of eliminations and long matches. But I like eliminations, so maybe it would be cool. But these tag teams, like I'm telling you, bro, like you look at the Raw tag team match, and it's just like, it's ridiculous.
It's poo-poo.
We have Rude and Gable. We have Revival in there. We have the B team.
Oh, I missed it.
Lucha, the In Your House knockoff. Lucha House, whatever you want to call it. Ascension for Raw. Like, these are just like jobber and not even tag teams. Like,
Who's the tag team division? AOP?
The AOP.
They're not even in there?
AOP. They are. The AOP are taking on the bar in a match. So it's going to be the tag team champions versus the tag team champions.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Oh, man. Well, that is pretty bad.
I better hope the AOP does not win that match. I would hate for the Bar. The Bar ends up eating losses now, so.
Well, if you look at SmackDown, though, Usos, New Day, Sanity, Good Brothers, and the Colons, fuck, that's kind of stacked, except for the Colons.
It's not bad. And even with the Colons, whatever, I'm like, good for them. Good for these guys. They sit backstage every single week at catering, waiting for an opportunity, and they're going to be on a pay-per-view and get a pay-per-view paycheck. Good for these guys. I'm not fans, but good for them.
They're on the pre-show, though.
Whatever, man. I'm sure they're happy to be on any show.
That's true. That's true. But there's just nothing at... Anyways, I don't want to be... It's really hard not to be negative, guys. I am sorry. I am probably bringing down the mood. If you... Maybe we'll talk about something a little bit more light here. Dean Ambrose has no idea how gas works, and the WWE also has no idea how gas works. We saw him drench his super soft vest, which
it was so thin. It was like negligee.
It was like a tactical vest I bought my kid for Halloween at the dollar store. There was like not even like a piece of plastic on it. It was like super soft, and he douses it in water. In a gas.
And he shakes it like it's going all over the place himself.
It's all over himself.
This guy is the anarchist, and he has no idea how to use any flammable liquid. He's just like shaking it all over the place.
Dude.
He would have set on fire, man.
Just the scene alone with him in... What the fuck is there? A barrel on fire 3 inches from a stupid... What kind of car was that? It was like a... worst thing ever, man. It was so bad.
Here's the thing, man. So my thought process was like, this is super cheesy.
Yes.
He's on a sports car. There's a burning barrel. I didn't think he was going to burn something right away. I thought it was just going to be his thing. He's Dean Ambrose, and he's got a burning barrel. And the more I watched it, the more I was like, you know what? This could be his thing, man. He could do these backstage promos and have a burning barrel. But it was just to burn the tactical vest or the tactical lingerie that he had.
Yeah.
In the sports car. It was a bit cheesy, I guess. And he was trying to avoid the smoke, too. You saw the smoke was just kind of going towards him. He kind of eases off to the side. But I don't know. I didn't really mind the can that much, I guess, because you don't get to see pyros anymore, seeing any kind of fire.
I know, but dude, when he threw the gas-dreamt bra into the barrel, it literally didn't do anything different. And it was dredged in gas.
Nothing happened. Somebody was trying to argue with me, maybe he put diesel fuel, it takes longer to burn. I'm like, are you kidding me, bro? Like, come on. Yeah, he went and got diesel fuel.
Maybe if he was diesel, but...
Yeah, that would have made sense, maybe.
Dude, Dean Ambrose, okay, you know Botchamania, like, you talk too much? Literally, this guy sucks on the mic. The less he talks, the better. Don't give him a talking promo.
I agree
promo.
To some degree. Sometimes he cuts a good promo here and there, but less is more with him.
Less is more.
I think, like I said, like we were saying last week, the iron isn't hot anymore.
No, it's not hot. Just like that fire, not hot. But it was just so like anticlimactic. He's like drenching it. I'm thinking like, oh my god, if that is gas, he's dead, and this is gonna be fucking hilarious.
And it's also sad that Seth is going to be tied to this for the next, like, several months, right? Maybe even WrestleMania. Like, who knows how long this is going to go on for? And it's a shame because they're so focused on this, which, I mean, is fine if they'd be building it the right way. But we're seeing lack of build. This whole Seth and the Rollins versus Nakamura match should be a big deal. And there should have been some kind of crossover. Nakamura should have showed up and been sneaky little goofy Nakamura and been like, come on, or did something funny, you know, like whatever. But like, he was not really there. Seth is like, I'm not thinking about Nakamura. Dean. It's like, dude, don't, like, why would you not do any kind of promotion?
You're forgetting like the hugest part of SmackDown here. There was a huge crossover when Nakamura played the cell phone YouTube video of WWE.com, and like, you couldn't even see it because of the glare. It was
and his English was terrible. I'm telling you, I've heard this guy on podcasts before. His English is not bad at all.
Take the mouthpiece out.
Yeah, I think he just basically, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he tries to play it down when he's on TV too, but like, guys, check out some podcasts, check out some interviews, Up, Up, Down, Down with Xavier Woods. Like, this guy speaks a lot better English than he does on TV. I don't know why.
Oh, man. So... there's that. But really, I agree, man. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins is flat. Seth Rollins versus Nakamura, there's no build. WWE is really like fucking stuck, man. So stuck.
You want to talk about something stupid? Probably one of the stupidest things I've seen in weeks.
Okay. Renee Young talking about Dean Ambrose? That was
the hardest thing for her, though, right? You know how challenging that must be for her?
Just, like, to go- dude, kayfabe. They're not married in storyline. Don't talk about
I don't know. Are they not married in storyline?
They're not. She's not a wrestler.
Well, I don't know, man. If it's on Total Divas, it's a storyline.
No, like, no,
it's
true.
Exposed.
Yeah, but
it's out in the public. If it's on Divas, it's out in the public.
No, but like, that's everybody what's knows. Wrong with the world. Twitter.
I think I've heard her say, like, I tried talking to him and he won't talk about it. Like, I don't know. They don't not stupid. Hide it either, though.
I know, but that's the problem. They should just never address it because she was like, I don't know what's going on with him. But it's Dean's story to tell. But it's really weird. And I'm like,
imagine they decided to work together and do like an abuse angle where he's a bad guy and she gets abused and she fights back against him.
Okay, that's awesome kayfabe. I'm in. I'm down for that. But this is not awesome kayfabe. This is like, it's stupid. And this is what I mean about, you know, fans knowing the truth, but so what? With the whole Becky Lynch thing, it's like, you insult us. And then all of a sudden be like, well, I can't insult him on something that you should insult us on. Fuck.
I know, man. I feel ya. Lots of frustration these days.
Salty bombs here.
Yeah. Hey, but on the bright side, it looks like Braun Strowman is going to get another shot at Brock Lesnar's Universal Championship because he blackmailed Stephanie.
Oh, I missed that. That must have been an hour or two. So what's the deal? What happened?
Well, he came out basically and she's kind of like, you're going to make sure the Survivor Series team wins or else. And he's like, I don't listen to threats. You guys think I'm a big meat bag without a brain, you know? And it's like, I don't know. He had a pretty good exchange with Stephanie and Braun. I liked it. He wasn't taking her shit and she was still standing her ground as much as she could because he would have eaten her alive. I was thinking of Austin Boo's Attitude Era. If he was just like, bruh, he picks her up and just power slammed her in the middle of the
just
ring.
Just pick her up against
would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to get another rematch against Brock Lesnar, it seems.
So cool.
My guess is TLC after Survivor Series.
Where he will not win again, guys. He will never, ever beat Brock Lesnar. The only person who ever could and will is Roman Reigns.
Triple H actually beat him when he did his first big comeback to the WWE.
Who, Brock?
Yeah, Triple H.
Well, fuck, Eddie Guerrero beat him. A lot of people beat him back in the day.
Yeah, but back in the day. But I'm talking about Triple H beat him when he first came back to WWE for the first time in like 8 years or whatever it was. One of his first feuds was with Triple H. Huh. And Triple H actually beat him.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, Triple H booked himself to win. Surprise, surprise. Mm. But yeah, I'm going to be interested to see how this match goes because are we just going to have another 7 F5s now and a pin. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to have to do something different. I really hope Braun fights back, finds a way to win. Like, I think if Brock goes into this match now, you know, the whole situation with Roman pulling himself out and being put into the match, I don't think it was a good time for him to win the title. But maybe now would be a good time. I just really hope they're not using that Universal title to tie in with MMA, some kind of crossover crap. So,
yeah, we'll probably see. Will. Let's just pray that after Survivor Series, WWE can start building that real road to WrestleMania and we can stop being so fucking fed up.
Like, well, the road to WrestleMania won't really start until January, but we're getting there.
I mean, dude, this is what's crazy. And I thought about it today and how excited we were for WrestleMania tickets and how expensive they were. And that's how much we love wrestling and WWE that we hate it. And we're spending all this money and going to New York and booking hotels to go see something that really infuriates us sometimes.
Dude, I think NXT is going to be fucking fantastic, though.
Yeah, NXT is going to be good.
There's going to be a few of those, like, they're going to be in the ring, or it's going to be intimate. There's going to be those moves where, like, they'll hit, like, a kick to the head, and it's like, and you're like, oh! And
I just can't
the
wait
crowd's
going to
be
Holy
into
shit.
It. It's going to be, oh, yeah, I'm extraordinary.
Let's get
and then
four
on
tickets.
Raw, we're going to see some debuts on Raw, people coming from NXT to the main roster. It's going to be awesome, man. We want you guys to be there and hang out with us, man. We're going to be around the city, and we want to have some fun, man. If you guys know some good places to eat, some good pubs, whatever, man, come hang out with Talkamaniac.
Hit it up.
Talkamaniac, bro.
right, guys. So that's going to bring us to the predictions part of the show. I know the excitement level is not high for me right now, but let's get through this, baby.
Let's hype it. Survivor Series prediction.
Dez, you always get me in the mood, brah. Always get me in the mood. So kick it off.
I know your sensitive spots.
All right, guys, we got Survivor Series this Sunday. Talkamania is going to be in the house. We're going to be on the Twitter. We'll be live tweeting. We'll be periscoping. And, man, we're going to be having a good time, or at least trying to make the best of a not-so-great card, I guess you could say. Honestly, it's really like one of my least exciting cards. I thought Crown Jewel, I was like, eh. This is also like, it just, I don't know, man.
This is the worst like, pay-per-view.
Rollins and Nakamura is kind of exciting. Man. And that's about it. Daniel Bryan getting his ass kicked. I'm worried about it. He's going to get concussed. Like, yeah. I don't know. Let's just get through this.
Let's just get through this.
All right, Survivor Series, guys. Let's open up with the 205 Live match. So they've added Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali to the card. So this match is going to be, I think it's going to be a fantastic match. So if you like Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander, to be honest with you, I really like the matches between Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali a lot more. So, J-Bomb, this is one I want you to watch closely. I don't want you to skip on your PVR.
I can. I'll be at your house.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to sit there and I make sure that you watch this shit. So they're going to put on a clinic. I think it's going to be a great match. Maybe one of the more notable matches of the night. It'll be buried on the pre-card most likely, but one to enjoy. Buddy Murphy's going to take this one.
Yeah.
Simply because he just won the title, and Mustafa Ali has had his time in the sun. It seems like 205 Live is treating the belt as kind of, people take their turn with it. So I don't think it's going to go back to Mustafa Ali. Yeah. I think it's the reign of Buddy Murphy, and we will see him pick up the win against Mustafa Ali in a fantastic match.
I will agree with you just because, like you said, that championship ain't going nowhere. Buddy Murphy is exciting to watch, and I will sit through this match. I will.
I will actually say, as exciting as Buddy Murphy is to watch, and I like watching him, he's fantastic, Mustafa Ali is equally, if not more innovative in the ring. So it's going to be exciting to see these two go head-to-head at Survivor Series on Sunday.
Right on.
All right, let's go into the sloppy, gross, ugly tag team matches. So we have a bunch of tag teams thrown together. You know, who can we fit on, you know, into this? We're getting everybody a job this Sunday. We've got the Colognes in there. You know when you got them in there. Shit's happening. So we got Bobby Roode, Chad Gable with the Revival, with the B-Team, the Luchas, and the Ascension versus the Usos, New Day, Sanity, Good Brothers, and the Colons.
Fucking Colons. I don't know, man. I mean, really. If Usos and New Day and Sanity, and if SmackDown doesn't win this, it's a travesty.
Hey, for sure. That's it. 100%. So I try to look at it and dissect it a little bit. We got Rude. We got Gable. Is there going to be anything with these guys? Is there going to be a little bit more build to the tension between them? They were really playing that in the past, but they haven't done so in the past few weeks. So maybe we'll see something extra at Survivor Series. We have the Revival. We have the B-Team. I see the B-Team being martyrs for Raw. I think they'll both be eliminated. I think if it's one person, you're probably out.
Yeah, probably.
So maybe like Gable will go out and then Rude will be upset. And the B-Team are definitely going to be going out. The Luchas will be eliminated. Well, they're all going to be eliminated. I mean, the team's not so great. Usos, New Day, Sanity, Good Brothers, Colognes. You're definitely going to see the Colognes and the Good Brothers go out.
Yeah.
Sanity, probably too. It'll probably come down to Usos and New Day being the last two teams. But yeah, definitely SmackDown's going to take this one.
Yeah, I think we could agree on that one. I think that's going to be on the pre-card as well, so. Pre-crap.
That's what the pre-card stands for. So they're putting one tag team match in the pre-card and the other one's not? Did they flip a coin to decide which one's going to be on?
Well, I think AOP versus the Bar is worthy of pay-per-view. So
I don't know about that.
Well, they're a bigger name. I don't know. I mean, dude, Rude, Gable, Revival, B-Team, Lucha, Ascension, garbage.
Well, you know, we're putting the AOP in a pretty high-profile match against the Bar. It's a pretty big deal for them. So let's see. So, yeah. Maybe the AOP will actually deliver. Yeah, they won the titles against one person. It was The big buildup of the wait for AOP to have those titles, I understand it. Cool, good for them. Build them up to be monsters. Don't have them win it in a cheap way. So I was a little bit upset they did that. We'll see. They got a challenge ahead of them against The Bar. It could be an exciting match. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And hey, let's get to that right now.
Yeah.
So who you got? AOP or you got The Bar?
AOP.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, they're just too big. It would be super dumb for them to lose because they're supposed to be like indestructible. So even, and The Bar can eat a loss and it's not going to affect them.
I feel like The Bar has been eating quite a few losses and it's a bit upsetting. They kind of like, I feel like the Usos kind of like, you know, they're a force to reckon with and they can win on any night and consistently. Same thing with the New Day. Find The Bar, like, they don't win as much as they used to, at least. They were a little bit more lethal before. But I do agree with you, actually. I think the AOP is going to pull out the win on this. It might be by a roll-up or miscommunication. Maybe The Bar is going to start moving towards, you know, having some issues. But I think with the AOP winning the tag team titles, the WWE needs to jump on giving these guys a credible win.
Yeah.
And I think The Bar would be a decent start. So I think the AOP should and probably will win this match.
I agree. AOP. And that's what's so bad about this Survivor Series. The way that it's put together is that it doesn't matter. None of this matters. God, I'm pissed.
Nothing else matters.
Oh, man. Okay, let's move on to the Raw versus SmackDown men's team. Let's do them. Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, Drew Mack, Balor, Lashley, and the team captain, Baron Corbin, who's not even wrestling. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's interesting. So first of all, Lashley making a team was a bit disappointing. I really think Elias should have been the one to make this team. I don't understand why they keep not giving him matches at pay-per-views or matches often in general. The guy's over with the crowd. They turn him face. And they give us a Lashley, the man who comes out last week and bends down in front of us. I don't understand what the heck that was. I was lost, confused. I still don't know what was going on. And then Elias doesn't win. I know they're trying stuff with Lashley. It's just not working. And I'd rather see more segments with maybe other wrestlers. I know Lashley worked as a heel in TNA. He just hasn't been doing it for me. A big part of it is the booking, I know. But what can I say? I'm not interested in seeing him coming out and bending over for all of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? And then we have Baron Corbin. If you guys remember the end of Raw, when Becky did her invasion with the rest of the SmackDown crew, Stephanie basically told Baron, like, this can't, you know, you got to get things together. We have to win at all costs at Survivor Series. And he's like, I'll think of something. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of, I don't know, like ultimatum. If Baron Corbin doesn't win or his team doesn't win, is this going to cost him his job? What is going to happen? Maybe they scrapped those plans too because they've been changing things so much this week. So a lot of question marks, and it's a team that's not getting along very much right now. But we also see that on the other side. We have Miz, we have Mysterio, we have Shane McMahon, Samoa Joe. So, I mean, we're looking at the roster, we're looking at the teams. Both teams don't seem to coexist. I think Shane shouldn't be part of the team maybe now, and maybe it should be AJ Styles. So yeah. Or maybe they'll, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll find a way to add him to it. I don't know. Or they'll put him somewhere on the card. But it's a little bit of a shame that he, you know, we're having Shane in there. You're not having AJ Styles.
Well, it just kind of suits the card, if you ask me, because, you know, it's not good. If I had to pick a winner here, I can't at all think that Raw has to win this one. And they're huge. Their team is stacked compared to SmackDown.
Well, you have to think about also, like, Braun Strowman, right? He's a big monster. How would he lose a match like this? I don't see him, he would maybe have to take every finisher from every person on the team, or potentially he would be pissed off and just, you know, walk out or get counted out. But I do know that he wants that title match, right? So he does have to perform come Sunday. So just based on that fact, based on they're going to be pushing him to face Brock Lesnar again, I don't necessarily see them, you know, having him be pinned or look weak on Survivor Series. So if we look at Miz, Mysterio, Shane, Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, I think it makes more sense for the SmackDown to take the big L. You know, I don't know what their plan is with Shane. Maybe he's going to be mad and start punishing people after it, push his heel turn further. But yeah, I'm going to go with Team Raw here.
Yeah, I could agree with you. And there's not much more to look into it. I mean, I don't think a lot of storylines are going to come out of this. I think maybe we'll see, you know, Braun Strowman beat up a few guys on his own team and cause them to get eliminated. I could see maybe that. But apart from that, I don't know, man. I think it's just like such a filler pay-per-view that we just really got to look at who's the bigger names on each side. You know, who's going to get pushed by the company more. And that's how I'm looking at it.
That's it, man. You know, as we go through this card too, I'm just not really excited.
No, it's so bad. Let's get through this. Mickie James, Nia, Tamina, Natty, and Ruby, captained by Alexa Bliss, who I don't think is fighting either, against Naomi, Carmella, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and we don't fucking know who the last one is.
I assume it'll be Mandy Rose.
Are they making it a mystery, or we just don't know?
They haven't announced. They could have easily have announced it on SmackDown, so I'm kind of wondering why they didn't. It actually still is to be announced.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're having Sonya there. It's a no-brainer. But maybe they're reserving something. Maybe they're reaching out to Trish Stratus. Maybe they're reaching out to Lita. I don't know. Maybe they're going to do something. Who knows? You know, on the Raw side, we have Tamina in there. You know, I understand the whole Tamina Nia thing, so cool, but, you know, why not Ember, you know? So,
yeah, it's true. She's not even on the card, eh?
It's funny. You have Nia and Tamina. They're tagging together right now, and they're this unstoppable force, and it's funny because they're a tag team. So we know
Hold on. Something just popped in my head because I'm reading this. There's no Ember, but Natty's in there.
Well, I mean, I think Natty has the respect and legacy that she can be put into a match and you don't really need to explain it too much.
No, but Ruby beat the shit out of her.
Don't know what to say.
I think
it's just building up the animosity within a team, right? We've been seeing that a lot. That's a theme this year, man. The teams are not teams. They're enemies.
I know, but that's... Oh, God. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like... Alexa Bliss picked Natty. Why wouldn't she have picked?
Like, why is Alexa Bliss even a captain if she's not wrestling? Like, what is this whole new thing of people? Half the people in Raw are captains and wrestling and not wrestling, and then SmackDown people are captains and wrestling, and it just.
Oh my God. Who do you have?
Well, I'm happy Ruby's in this match. I think she deserves it. Tamina, I mean, she's at the end of her, I guess, career winding down, and I guess it's good for her to be on this. I'm just trying to be nice, I guess. But I think Ember should be in this match. The one thing I was saying earlier about Nia and Tamina being a tag team was I thought it was ironic that recently in an interview, you know, there's been talks about having the women's tag team championships, and a lot of women are behind it because it's a lot more segments, you know, more storylines for the women. But Nia actually was quite vocal recently in the last couple of a week or two, and was saying in an interview how she doesn't think, she said, I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for this, but I don't think it's necessary. I don't think there should be tag team titles for the women. And she was kind of bashing it a little bit and thinking it wasn't a good idea. And then she's with Tamina right now. So it's just, I don't know. Like,
she's probably pissed off with her storyline because she sucks.
Well, she can't be in the spotlight all the time. You got to take turns. You got to get to the end of the line. And sometimes you come back quicker than others. I mean, she's going back against Ronda again in another month probably. So that's a pretty big deal, yeah. You know. And I don't know, man. After taking Becky out, they'll probably play it as a storyline that she looks like she's a beast, she's a monster, she'll take out the champion, they'll play it up as a storyline. They already are on social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, is what it is. We have, you know, Mickie James is definitely going to be a casualty in this match. Tamina definitely as well, too. Natty will eat a pin. It might come down to Nia and Ruby. On the other end, we've got Naomi, Carmella, Sonya, Asuka. Asuka.
Soul Survivor.
I think she's done that before, so I don't know if they're going to do it again. And we saw she ended up losing on the Mixed Match Challenge to Charlotte Flair again this past week. So the Miz and Asuka, Team Asuka, that's their team instead of Team Awesome, Team Asuka, they lost against. It's funny now. So AJ was pairing up against with Charlotte on the Mixed Match Challenge. AJ lost the title. It was Daniel Bryan versus and Charlotte Flair versus Asuka and The Miz. Anyway, so she put on the figure eight again, cranked it on Asuka, and she tapped out exactly like she tapped out at WrestleMania. So I was a bit bitter to see that they just really are just doing the same ending. They haven't learned anything, and fuck.
So exactly, same ending. Asuka's going to be Soul Survivor. Now, Is it true in the mixed match challenge, whoever wins this is going to get number 30 in the women's and the men? And Royal
so
Rumble?
This mixed match challenge is so funny because last year it was so short. It was over like in a week or two. Now this year, I swear to God, it seemed like it started in the summer. I don't know. Like, it's just been going on for so long. There was a round robin before like eliminations and there was a point system. So yeah, TLC will have the finals, which is kind of cool to have a mixed match on a pay-per-view. Mm. I don't know who's going to be in it. Maybe Miz and Asuka will be in the finals, but I don't think they'll take it home. But yes, whoever wins this year, the men, the women, will be number 30 in their respective Royal Rumble.
That's a horrible idea, but whatever. It is what it is. Who do you have winning this match?
All right, who do I have winning this match? I'm actually... It depends, man. If they're wanting to build Tamina up going against Ronda Rousey, sorry, Nia Jax going up against Ronda Rousey, I could very well see them winning this. I don't think they care about protecting Asuka anymore. Tough one to call. It's either going to be Nia winning it or Asuka winning it. Or the TBA could also be the underlying factor in this. Mm. Fuck it. I'm going to go with my girl because I love her. So Asuka, SmackDown's going to take it.
Yeah, I agree.
I know Nia Jax is going to win this shit and I'm going to be pissed.
It's just got to be SmackDown because I got Raw winning the men's and I feel like that's just how they do it.
I really hope it's not Nia standing tall, especially after her taking out Becky. Unless they really want to draw ultimate heel heat, which could be what they're after.
Maybe. That's a good point. All right, what quote-unquote dream match.
With my heart.
Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura, who you got?
I think the match is going to be good-ish. I think Nakamura, from what I've seen in the WWE, I love him, and I hate to say this, but a little bit overrated in terms of his moveset. It's kind of the same stuff. It's a little bit copy-paste each match, but I like to see the kind of character he brings to the ring. I hope it translates well in this match. I hope it kind of brings the best out of Shinsuke Nakamura, and I know Rollins will be on his A-game. So I am excited to see the chemistry between the two of them, but, I mean, look, we've been watching SmackDown week after week. We barely have Nakamura. We don't have a U.S. title on the show. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. I don't even understand why they have him holding the title if they're not going to put him. Unless he's injured or whatever it is, I just don't understand what's going on with Nakamura. Rollins has been hot, hot, hot. He's definitely one of their number one guys, you know. So I definitely, and I know I've said that word too much, but he is going to pick up the win over Nakamura on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's an easy one. I think you nailed it there. WWE's got a high Seth's on their high horse, so I'm going to go with Seth Rollins as well. Shinsuke doesn't need to win because, well, he's not even on SmackDown half the time. So, yeah, nice and easy. Seth Rollins.
Easy peasy. All right, let's go on to the main events. We have the men and we have the ladies.
Yep.
All right, so let's go with the men first because we respect the ladies and you want to save the breasts for last. All right. Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar.
Whatever. Brock Lesnar, obviously.
Brock Lesnar. Yeah. All right. Now, how bad of a beating you think Daniel Bryan's going to take? You think he's going to actually, like, you know, show some potential, have a few spurts of momentum, and then be squashed? How many times will he be thrown in his head? Will he have to retire after this match? And what are they thinking, putting him in a match with Brock Lesnar?
I think it's exactly like you mentioned earlier in the podcast. It's Brock's going to destroy him. A couple of moments for Daniel. He's not going to get yes kicks. I don't think Brock Lesnar is going to allow that. And yeah, a couple F5s and call it a night. That's it. That's all.
I think Brock will take the yes kicks. I think he's not as much of a douche as you think he is.
You think he's going to get on his fucking knees?
I think he'll definitely act kind of like wounded and beat up and staggered. And I think he'll get to the point probably where Daniel will be able to lay in a few. But I think he'll lay in like one or two. And then Brock will like grab his leg and then just like fold him up like an accordion and then like eat him and poop him out. You know, it's going to be a pretty violent match.
The death of Daniel.
Imagine Bryan. He just takes it to Bryan and then like takes the pad off and busts him open the hard way. Like,
oh, God.
He hasn't done that in a while.
It's not going to be on Daniel. No way. He's going to die. Rattled.
I'm worried about that guy every time he gets into the ring. So against Brock Lesnar, I'm kind of interested, but kind of worried for him. But we'll see. We're not getting AJ Styles, so he'll be taking the night off.
That's it. All right. All right. So we agree on Daniel.
So lots of talk this week. We have Becky Lynch, who's no longer able to basically defend her honor, take on Ronda Rousey and challenge her in this match that was so hyped between two warriors. They've been throwing barbs at each other. They still are. But now she can no longer compete due to injury. And we have Charlotte Flair taking her place in return against Ronda Rousey. This is a match that was rumored to be built up to WrestleMania, and they've now given it to us early at Survivor Series. Who do you think is going to win this, J-Bomb? Ronda Rousey or Charlotte Flair?
I think it's another no-brainer on this one. I think it's going to be Ronda Rousey. I just don't see how they can... Becky could have beaten Ronda, and they could have gone forward. Charlotte cannot beat Ronda, and Ronda stay on course for her path. It won't work.
Now, do you think if this match was saved until WrestleMania, Charlotte would have won?
Yes, 100%.
100%. Okay, so we're in agreement in that. I feel the same way. I think this match was supposed to be built, or was going to be built, WrestleMania, with Charlotte taking the win over Ronda Rousey. Ronda would take maybe some time off, but she would eat her loss at WrestleMania. So now it's changed. We might see Becky be the one. Who knows? We'll see. But for now, we are seeing Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. And how things stand, the build of Ronda Rousey, the lack of build between Charlotte and Ronda. Again, it's going to have to be Ronda Rousey winning this match. You know, I think they could get away with a loss and some kind of, you know, I don't think it'd be a tap out, it'd be a roll up or something maybe. But yeah, it's going to be Ronda Rousey. She'll win the match and life will go on.
I think this could actually be an okay in-ring match.
I think it'll be all right as well, too.
I think this is...
I think it'd be interesting to see, because you have, like, you're right, you're going to have Ronda, who's going to give those punches and stuff. She'll do her little flips, right? But, like, Charlotte's pretty tall and lanky.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So how will she take those flips and those little, like, you know, arm judo tosses, right? And then Charlotte has a tendency to go to the top rope. And is Ronda going to be able to catch Charlotte properly? You know, so yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a challenge for Ronda. And I'll give Ronda credit. She works her ass off. And she does a lot of little things that people don't give her respect for. And I think she'll do just fine. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be a night where Charlotte takes home a win. We're going to see Ronda Rousey. She's going to win. And she'll walk out the ultimate, I guess, last word.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. It means nothing. Nothing on this card.
Pretty much. I'm trying to hype it up. That's where I was at a loss of where I got nothing to say, man. That's all I got to say.
Well, boys and girls, that's your Survivor Series predictions. The good part is that we will still have fun watching this pay-per-view because it's not every day that Dez and J-Bomb get together. It's actually been a while. We didn't do Women's Evolution and we didn't do Crown Jewel or Super Showdown together. So this will be the first time we're getting together for a little while. We're going to be doing...
I'm lifting the restraining order.
Lifting the restraining order. Well said. We'll be on Periscope, Twitter. We're going to be GIFing. We're going to be all over the place. We'll be back next week with our wrap-up show. Hopefully, there's a huge surprise and Survivor Series is half decent, but we will be there with you. Crack a beer. Join us. Follow us on Twitter, @_Talkamania, ProWrestlingTees.com/Talkamania. Follow us on Twitch, Talkamaniacs, YouTube. No, we're not on YouTube. Spotify, Instagram, Fachibuchi, wherever you can get it. J-Bomb's out. I'm sorry I was a drag tonight. Dez, say bye.
A happy Rusev Day, motherfucker.